while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, church. How's everyone? What a service, right? What a service it has been so far. I have to join Babs in saying I feel tired. I feel like I have been through just the most amazing experience, just feeling God in this place. Isn't he just wonderful? I remember when we were praying this morning before the service, one of our main prayer points was, Lord, may your glory fill the temple. And indeed, it feels like he's here. His tangible presence is here. And I just wanted to acknowledge that. It's beautiful, isn't it, just being in God's presence? Amen. So, today's theme is, who is leading you? Who's leading you? And as I prepared the sermon, I always like to start with a story or a joke, and I couldn't get one. And so this morning, I thought I'll ask a question. And I'll ask a few questions throughout my sermon, and I want the sermon to be a little bit interactive, if that's okay with you. But that means you have to interact with me, otherwise it won't work. So I'm going to ask the media team to please prepare a roaming mic. So I was having a discussion with Pastor Deji at the back, and I said, someone really loves me in this church. Because my last sermon was based on Judges, the book of Judges, and I was in the book of Judges in verse 1 to verse 7, and we went through it. And today, here we are again, back in Judges. Maybe the Lord is trying to say something. Amen? Amen. Who is leading you? Who is leading you? Just turn to someone and say, who's leading you? Or what is leading you? The synopsis, the first half of the synopsis reads, On the journey of life, sometimes we start well, but miss our destination. Sometimes it is a result of the unexpected. At other times, it is because we were led down the wrong path. Sometimes we start well, but miss our destination. Who here has ever been on a journey to the beach, to wherever, just driving out? I love how the children have their hands up. And you're on the motorway, and it seems like everything's going really well, and then you miss your way. I mean, straight away, there's a bit of panic. And then you start to think, okay, let's resolve this. Let's find our way back. You try to find the quickest way to return to find you back on your route, right? It's an automatic thing because you are set to go somewhere. You're on a journey, you're going somewhere, and you want to get to where you're going to. It's funny how life works like that, but when it comes to our spiritual life, it isn't that way. It's actually quite the opposite. It seems that when we feel like, or we have a feeling, an urge, that we're not going the right way, or we're being misled, it's almost like we're lured into it, and we kind of lean in slightly and feel, what's this way? We don't urgently turn around. We don't urgently do the right thing and turn away from where we're being misled to. And I say this because I want us to have a little bit of compassion for the Israelites. So for those of you who were not here for that particular sermon, I'm just going to kind of round up a little bit this story. So the book of Judges actually tells a story of God's long suffering for Israel. So they had just reached the promised land. And they'd been on this long journey with God from Exodus all the way to Judges. So God had taken them through various ways. They've gone through the mountains and the valleys, and they reached this wonderful place God had promised them, the promised land, the place of rest, the place of honey, the place of milk, the place of abundance, the place where they were supposed to just go and flourish and be and enjoy God and enjoy life. a place of ease. And it seems that when they reached this place, they were given clear instructions by God, but when they reached this place, they seem to have missed their step, okay? So the generation that reached the promised land was not the generation that God signed the contract with. So God went into a covenant with Israel and told them, let's go, I'll take you to this promised land. And when we get there, this is the instruction. I do not want you mixing with the people of this land. I want you to get in, take over the land and settle in. Do not go into a contract with them. Do not exchange with them. Do not live with them. Do not keep them there. Do not mix with them. Do not intermarry with these people. But unfortunately for the Israelites, when they arrived, or that generation, it was not easy for them. What God had told them to do, unfortunately, felt at the time like it wasn't the right thing, because they got there and they found their own way around instead of listening to God's instruction, which was to trust him and do as he says. They did their own thing, okay? So unfortunately for them, they settled into that land. And it was the beginning of what was a cycle of pain, a cycle of regret, a cycle of disobedience, and a cycle of God showing compassion for them. They missed their way. They missed their way. I was having a conversation with someone and we were talking about how nowadays, you know, things can be a bit difficult for us because, you know, we have social media, we have so many distractions and so many things happening. You know, as mothers, it's hard to, I'm not gonna name any names, the person's looking at me. As mothers, it's hard to navigate life. As young people, it's hard to navigate life these days. You know, our mothers had it so easy, and was the conversation. And upon reflection after the conversation, I thought about it and I thought, actually, I don't think so. If anything, they had it hard. Because when I think about stories my nan would tell of raising children, there was a lot of nappy washing. And that was nappy filled with all sorts. There was a lot of carrying things. There was a lot of heavy load. There was a lot of cooking for a big amount of people. Nowadays, in a household, you've got two or three people. Back then, there was a lot more. We have this assumption that we have it hard these days because we've got social media, we've got so many bad influences, leadership is failing, oh, the government, oh, the this, that. Or spiritual leaders are failing, you know, they're not living righteously as they should, they're not great examples. So many excuses we make when we miss our way. Now, just reflecting on the Israelites, we have this assumption that perhaps they had it easier. They had the glory of God. They had God's presence. They had Moses. They had the Joshuas. But if you think about what they had to put up with, maybe perhaps it was just as hard as it is now. When you read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, it seems they also had hardship. Right? There was a lot of temptation back there like there is now. There was a lot of distractions like there is now. There were many gods that were proposed to them like there is now. So why do we assume it was much easier for them? They had to conquer the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Hittites and the so many nations trying to overtake their nation. So many obstacles they had to face. The Bible says in the book of Judges 1:27 that they failed terribly. And when they did not adhere to God's instruction, he would allow them to be taken by what their desires were. He would give them over to the gods that they desired to worship. And in turn, they would receive oppression. There was a clear reason why God gave them an instruction to not mix in with these people. Now, I did a bit of research and I looked up the Canaanites, and they were quite a strange people. They participated in human sacrifice. They sacrificed their own children on altars. And just looking deeply into their history and what type of people they were, they did not love God or his ways. And God knew that it would not be good for the Canaanites to mix in with these people. And so he gave them an instruction, which to them seemed like it was too much to bear. It was too much to do. It was too much to conquer. The people were too great for them. Their focus was not on God and his ability. It was on the people, and they feared them. And so they were led by their fear to disobey God. So, I have a video that I would like to share before we move into the next part of the sermon. So, who is leading you? The Israelites were led by their fear. I'm going to ask today, what is leading you, or who is leading you? What is leading you, or who is leading you? Who is at the heart of your heart? Who's the center of your heart? What is that one thing that you spend most of your time doing? What has your attention? It is well and good. We declare that we are children of God, and yes, that we love God, and we pursue him with all our hearts, and we worship him, and we desire him with all that we are. But I want to ask today, who is truly leading you? Who is truly leading you? The Bible says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. In Matthew 6:19, verse 21, it says there, Jesus speaks out and he reveals the truth that what a person values most is where their heart is at. A person's time, attention, action, energy, all of that will be focused on what that thing is that they value most. That, if you want to find out what is leading you, that is the very thing that is leading you. What is taking up most of your time? Where are your passions? When we ask the question, what is leading you? What we don't mean is, who is your God? Because it's easy for us to answer, well, I follow Jesus. Jesus is my God. But is he Lord? Because ultimately, if he is Lord, then he must have authority over everything else, including our time, our decisions, our actions, and what we do, and how we live. So who is leading you? I'm going to play a short video, and it's quite a funny one, and then we will discuss after. So please, media team. Hopefully it works. Thank God for technology and how reliable it can be when it wants to work. And this is just a short video of how we can be led by our own desires or misled, and how that can blind us from seeing God. He was so determined to have what he desired, that he missed God. And time again, God tried to redirect him and tried to pull him back and tried to show him the right way to go. And he missed an entire oasis just for a drop of water. And sometimes this is what happens when we are led by our own desires. We miss God, we miss his instruction, we miss his leading. Because life isn't easy. It isn't easy following God's instructions. It's not. Let me not stand here and make it sound as if it is. It's not, because we cannot see the full picture. We can't, but God can. And he gives us an instruction and tells us to wait. Perhaps wait in a marriage that isn't so flourishing, that isn't so good at the moment. Carry on in this path in your career. Keep doing the thing you're doing. Humble yourself. Trust me in this position where you find yourself. You might be sick, but I'm taking you on a path where on this journey, I will be glorified. Because the other way will lead you astray. God knows what he's doing. If only I was doing a bit of research and I realized what it actually takes to create one cell of a body. Just one cell. It takes so much to create just one cell. And we're still discovering just how much is within one cell of a human body and of anything that is. Why would God go through so much trouble to create us, but yet not have any plan for us, yet not have a destination, a destiny for each and every single one of us? I believe God has a plan. If he would go to the extent of being so careful about creating us and molding us and making us, that is a cell, not even your eyes. That's a cell, just one cell of your body. I've dropped so many cells by speaking. I'm sharing my DNA. And each part of my, you know, breath and everything carries a part of me. And God took care to make every single part of us. Church, God has a plan for everyone. Just like this man in the video, God had a plan to get him to that oasis. God has a plan for you, for me, for PHBC, for Pollard's Hill. God has a plan for every breathing and living thing. Have you ever stopped somewhere and just realized and looked at a tree and just thought, and it brought the wonder of God? That tree had a purpose. Everything has a purpose and a plan. But what I want to ask you is, who is leading you? We know the famous story of Paul. Paul was on his way somewhere. He was coming from Jerusalem and he was going to Damascus. I mean, Paul, he was a Pharisee, and in his day, he was someone who studied the law. He knew the law of God. He was someone who was upright in his standard of living. He did right by the Lord and he trusted God and he served God. He was an honorary man. He believed what he was doing was right. And he was on his way to Damascus to make sure that every criminal, well, he believed Jesus was a criminal, so he believed anyone who served Jesus was a criminal, to make sure that every person that was blaspheming God was put to death. He had a plan, but his plan was not God's plan. Now, the Bible tells us that when he met Jesus on the way, Jesus stopped him and said, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Your efforts and everything you're doing, you're kicking against the prick." And just like the children of Israel, just like the children of Israel, Paul seemed to have a plan of his own that was contrary to the plan God had. And the children of Israel, time and time again, they would not do what God said, and they would end up in persecution. They would end up in that place where they cried out to God. And then they would start again. Here is Paul on his way to Damascus, and Jesus says to him, "Why are you kicking against the prick? Why are you kicking against the prick?" When we go against God's plan, essentially this is what we are doing. So please, can you share the PowerPoint. So this is a an ox's goat. And what this used to be is the shepherd's rod. And it was used for plowing, for preparing the ground for a plantation. And this was part of a different mechanism. If you go to the next slide. So it was part of this. And what the stick would do, shall I call it a stick, or the prick, what the prick would do is it would lead the ox to continue walking in a straight line. So whenever the ox would decide that it wanted to go its own way, he or she would get a prick. So Jesus is essentially, he was saying to Paul, why are you kicking against the prick? You're giving yourself unnecessary pain by going your own way. Stop. Hear me out. I have a plan. Why are you kicking against the prick? And there are so many things that mislead us. And the Bible says, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? What is your treasure? What have you made your treasure? What is your treasure? What is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Is God your treasure? Have you treasured God so much to the point that you are willing to do anything for him? You're willing to trust him? You're willing to allow him to have his way? Or is it only in moments like these where we come together and the presence of God falls upon us and we say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. But as soon as we leave these doors, we change our minds. Are we willing to obey? Are we willing to submit to his leading? Because church, guess what? The glory of God is his love. We sang today about how marvelous, how beautiful he is. What is the beauty of the Lord? The beauty of the Lord is that he is willing, just like he did with the Israelites, to take us back time and time again, even when we fail. Even when our mother and our father would turn their backs on us, God would not do that. He's willing to take us in, even in our sin. Even in our worst state, he's willing to take us. He's the friend that never leaves. He's the sure companion. This is God. We can trust him. What is the glory of God except for the knowledge of knowing his love and how deep and wide it is? So I'm asking you, will you trust his leading? Will you trust his leading? Yes, it's hard, but will you trust his leading? Will you trust him when he tells you to go right, but right seems like it's a painful route? Will you trust him when left seems comfortable and left seems like the more better route to go down? It's more comfortable. I'll tell you a story. About a week ago, I was in a really bad state. And when I say bad state, I mean, I was tired, physically tired. And I remember I was driving down Sherwood Park Road. And as I was driving down Sherwood Park Road, I mean, I just felt this presence come into my car. And I began to just contemplate life. And oftentimes this happens to all of us, so don't look at me funny. Some of you are sitting there like, pastor, yeah? Yes, pastors, we go through trials and temptation too. And I heard a voice say, why don't you just settle down? Take it easy, take the easy route. Because there's so much more you can do, you know? And I started to have all these ideas come into my mind. And it seemed good. And by the end of the discussion I was having with myself, or whatever the voice was, God then came and asked me a question. So who will you worship? And I said, I will worship you, God, no matter what it costs. Because ultimately, the other option might seem nice, but the end of it, the Bible says there's a way that seems good to a man, but its end is death. Because the proposition of the enemy is good, it's nice, it's lovely. I was having a conversation with a teen, and the teen was saying to me, but Pastor, I'm struggling with sin. And, you know, they explained what happened, and, you know, they get this feeling, and then they start to do whatever it is that they do, and then by the end, they feel this shame come up on them. And I said, that's what the enemy does. He will make that way seem good. He will allow you to be led by your own desires, but by the end, nothing good will come of it except loss. The loss of your peace, the peace that God gives you. So who is leading you? Are your desires leading you? Your comfort leading you? Maybe perhaps it's some pain that you've experienced. Maybe someone has hurt you and you're allowing unforgiveness to lead you. What is it that's leading you? Is it fear? Maybe you're not trusting God enough because of some trauma, because you trusted him at one point, at one time, and it felt like it didn't go well, so you turned back. What is leading you? What is leading you? Is social media leading you? Your self-esteem, maybe perhaps you want to look good and appear well and be doing well. What is leading you? Is it money? Is it affirmation? What is leading you? What is leading you? Is it fear like the Israelites? Today we are all led by something. And today we have the option to choose one or the other. But church, I want to bring this proposition to you. Why not trust the leading of God? The Bible says that the children of God are those who are led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, and he calls us his sheep. And he says, my sheep hear me and they know my voice. And that we are left without excuse, because there is no excuse. We can't say, oh, I didn't know. Because he says that we know his voice and we hear him. Today, will you hear God and will you trust in him? Will you not be like the man in the video and go for the drop of water, but go for the oasis instead, even though the oasis seems far and it seems like it's a longer way to go? Or will you build your own tap for just that one drop of water? It wasn't worth it, was it? Nah. Who here would rather heaven? Who here would rather God's plan? And see other people saved by your obedience? Who here would rather give glory to God by remaining in that uncomfortable state and trusting God that by the morning, even though the night might seem dark, that by the morning, joy will come? Whoever is leading you, if it's not God, replace it with God today. His word is an instruction for the soul. Trust God. Trust God. In Proverbs 3, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will. Amen. Let us trust the leading of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And he will surely get us to that oasis.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.